slow motion, but I doubt I had time to do that before that expensive gun landed at the feet of Harry Howell, who had conveniently stepped into my aisle. The gun smashed into pieces. My co-worker had seen him coming and timed it perfectly. There are many leaders, and I've known a few in my life, who would have lost it, hurling expletives and accusations at a stupid kid. As Harry looked down at the plastic parts now spread around his wingtip shoes, he said only, "Clean it up," and walked away. I don't remember him asking for an explanation or mentioning it again. My 16-year-old self concluded that Harry immediately realized I had been scammed. In his stoic, suppressed smile way, he understood that I'd been the victim of a slightly mean prank and pitied me. Maybe the guns really weren't expensive, or maybe Harry made my coworker pay for the one that I had tossed. But Harry's grant of mercy left a lasting impression and made me love him more. I worked even harder, making the paper aisle a bounty-filled paradise, and I tested him again. One evening, I was assigned to stock the dairy case, which was a level of complexity far beyond paper. This was the big leagues. I pulled open the huge door to the dairy cooler in the far rear of the building to retrieve gallons of milk. They stood in tall stacks, 4 gallons to a plastic crate. In the days before plastic milk bottles, these were made of paper and looked like gigantic versions of the box of milk you bought with your school lunch. I grabbed a hand truck and began loading it with crates. Overconfident rookie that I was, I made it a big stack of 6 crates, holding 24 gallons of milk. My mother would have called it a lazy man's load. I tilted the 2-wheeled hand truck back, noting the impressive weight, and made my way out of the cooler, pushing my right shoulder into the back of the hand truck, left hand on top of the stack. I banged through the swinging backroom doors and rolled along the dairy display cases. The weight was making me go faster and faster, so I took quick steps to keep the stack from falling on me. At the milk display case, I stopped abruptly and pushed the hand truck hard upright, heedless of the basic laws of physics. The universe and the milk, of course, were not heedless. When I stopped short and heaved the hand truck upright, the crates kept going, momentum conserved, and fell like a towering tree in the very direction I had been pushing them before I stopped short. The tree of plastic milk crates hit the floor hard. Instantly, the tops of those paper gallons burst open in unison, dumping more milk in one place than I had ever seen before. A 24-gallon lake of milk began spreading along the dairy case and down the cereal, canned goods, and international food aisles. It was a catastrophe beyond words. I ran to the back, grabbed a mop and bucket, and began frantically soaking up lake milk and squeezing the mop with the mechanism on top of the bucket. It had all been so quiet. Paper milk gallons don't shatter. They just open. If I hurry, I thought, I might get this cleaned up before anyone sees the mess. I was minutes into mopping when Harry appeared. He stood on the far side of lake milk, hands on hips, careful not to get any on his wingtips. After an eternity of admiring the lake, he asked, "Have you learned something?" "Yes, sir," I replied. "Good," he answered. "Clean it all up." And he walked away. I was too young to see it clearly, but at 16, I was getting a look at great leadership. I knew I wanted to be more like Harry than the kids who tormented me on the playground. And maybe Harry was open enough to see that about me. Maybe he even instinctively knew what school was like for me, that I was a kid just trying to fit in somewhere and be something. Being an outsider, being picked on, was very painful, but in hindsight, it made me a better judge of people. In my life, I would spend a lot of time assessing threats, judging tone of voice, and figuring out the shifting dynamic in a hallway or locker room crowd. Surviving a bully requires constant learning and adaptation, which is why bullies are so powerful, because it's so much easier to be a follower, to go with the crowd, to just blend in. Those years of bullying added up, minor indignity after indignity, making clear the consequences of power. Harry Howell had power, and he wielded it with compassion and understanding. That wasn't always easy for him because he had to deal with a lot of immature kids. Others had power, like the bullies at school, and they found it far easier to wield it against those who were defenseless and to just go along with the group rather than stand up to it. I learned this lesson, too, in one of the great early mistakes of my life. In 1978, I attended the College of William and Mary. I was one of many insecure, homesick, frightened kids living away from home for the first time, although we would admit none of that to one another, or even to ourselves. Because of overcrowding, I was among 17 freshman boys living in a physically separate annex to one of the large dormitories, without a resident advisor or any kind of on-site supervision. I shudder looking back through the lens of adulthood. My college had unintentionally created a Lord of the Flies dormitory annex. There was a boy in that annex who was mildly annoying. He was a bit arrogant and uptight and had a hometown girlfriend he talked about constantly. He had potted plants in his immaculately neat dorm room. He went his own way most of the time. But somehow the group of boys decided that this mildly annoying boy was not to be tolerated. So the group messed with his belongings, trashed his room, recorded voices over portions of his favorite cassette tapes, and performed other idiocies I can't remember. I was part of that group. Some things I did, some things I helped do, some things I laughed about after they were done. I caused